see if we remember how to do this. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Lava Pool.
I am your host, Sam Harsma.
Joining me today, we have Caleb Blitz and Burst.
Hello.
Blitz, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good.
What were you just eating?
Half off Easter candy.
Easter was a couple days ago. Also joining us, not the Texas Magma that got beat by a bunny, but the other one, we have Benji.
Hello.
Benji, what was the last thing you ate?
I had a piece of pizza for lunch, so that was pretty cool.
What kind of pizza?
Just cheese. My school is not cool.
Ah, school pizza. That's...
It was sad.
That's not even real pizza.
Yeah, kind of tasted funny. Whatever.
All right, rounding out our panel today, we have newcomer to the podcast, Colin, the Battle Room. How's it going, man?
Great.
What was the last thing you ate?
Some Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its.
Strong.
Just
very good.
Plain vanilla Cheez-Its or...
White cheddar.
The Tabasco ones. White cheddar?
The only way to go.
That is a strong snack choice, Colin.
Alright, so let's jump into this. Lava Pool has actually been gone the entire duration of regionals for X and Y. We did a handful of episodes right before the season started. We did one after X and Y came out. That was also a mashup episode with our last Black and White 2 regionals. We recorded one other episode talking all about... What was it even called?
Oh, InstaCheck.
InstaCheck. That's what we had Omega Donut on. He told us like all about how InstaCheck was made, how it worked, how the battle analyzer was ruining everything. And I took a day to edit that, and while I was editing, the game got patched. All of our information was useless. So,
except for shiny values.
Yeah, that was... Except people that didn't have their shiny values couldn't check them, and you couldn't check your eggs anymore. So it was just... It was a huge, colossal waste of my time trying to edit that forever, and then not letting it even go up. So yeah, we have not covered the metagame at all other than speculation, and I believe our speculation was that, hey, a bunch of people are running double dragons on Battle Spot, and then Rotom is still everywhere, and Rotom will never go away.
That definitely has not changed.
Yeah, I don't think that ever changed.
Or ever will change.
I think double dragons, like, it cannot sustain itself that long.
It's here to stay.
I don't think so. I think it'll be down to one dragon sooner or later, if not zero. But probably at least one.
You're talking to two, maybe three people who just top cut with double dragon.
I know, and it's just people aren't running ice types, is the thing.
Name a good ice type.
Mamoswine.
Greninja.
Okay.
Abomasnow. Weavile.
Alright, we're not talking about Weavile. Could we not?
I think we can.
I used to run Weavile back in 2012.
I ran Weavile on my last 2013 team.
Those were the days. But now, this is X and Y.
It is, and it's faster than just about everything that isn't Omega or Scarfed. And it can still one-shot Scarf's Elements even after the Intimidate. Even after two Intimidates.
That's just insane.
Yeah, so don't try knocking Weavile. It has its place. It is a very good ice type.
Wait, wasn't Weavile used with, what was it?
Diggersby? Yeah.
Diggersby, though.
Okay. I mean, it's just a lot of flinching. Flinching never left either.
No. So, you said two of you ran Double Dragons at regionals. Which two of you?
I did.
Colin did.
You and Colin did. Alright, you want to talk about your team there? Let's start with Blitz.
Alright, my team, very last minute, I decided to board the Mega Venusaur hype train, and it paid off quite well. My team was Venusaur, Rotom Heat, Salamence, Garchomp, Lucario, Azumarill. With definitely Double Dragon helping.
Were you Double Mega also?
I was also indeed Double Mega. My Mega Lucario had Close Combat, Flash Cannon, and Substitute with Helping Hand Azumarill. Definitely pulled through.
Okay.
A solid portion of my matches.
I have seen a Helping Hand Close Combat one-shot a Charizard Y.
It does, and it's insane. Damn. Nothing can stop that.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
That's incredible.
So how did you end up doing
I
that
ended
team?
Up going 7-1 in Swiss, and lost to Ray in Top Cut, so I got 6th overall.
Okay, and what were you running into mostly at that regional?
I don't think I ran into, like, similar things more than once. I faced once on the team, I faced, like, an Aerodactyl Charizard Y team. I faced Meowstic, Aegislash, Mega Venusaur with Rain Dance, what was Chuppa, what I lost to in Swiss. And then just kind of a lot of other standard things. But I did end up facing what would be Inosh's, or Inosh's, however you say his name, Wisconsin team, the Zoo team. Someone did have that exact team suit. At Massachusetts Regionals. And did beat it.
Yeah.
Do you know who it was?
Yeah, it was the Love Doctor, Scott Morris.
I've been hearing about this Zoo team just constantly for months now.
The only reason I beat it was because I knew how it worked. So my team is, they both have the same Megas, Lucario and Venusaur, so I guess all the tricks it had.
Which is to drink milk.
Drink milk, spam Thunderwave, bulky milk tank, and just kind of Helping Hand Close Combat stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's much more complex than that, but that's basically it in a nutshell.
Yeah. What was the best placing for anyone that ran the Zoo?
Whatever Inosh got.
None of them top cut. Inosh barely missed top cut, losing to Oliver Valente Smith. And I think he did it the best.
I mean, he's the creator.
Yeah.
I think a senior might have top cut one of the weeks before. Snake, yes.
Snake got, I think, second place.
Did you do that?
At Seattle.
Yeah, Snake was running the Zoo.
And didn't he win the following weekend with, like, Mega Alakazam? Yeah, he changed up his team.
Wait, he won that one?
Did he win, or... He came second place. He second placed Utah, and he top cut with Zoo team at Seattle.
Sure.
Mega Alakazam. He didn't have Mega Alakazam. He had Life Orb Magikarp Alakazam.
Really? I didn't actually ever see it play. I just saw Alakazam, and I got really excited. Guess if my excitement was premature.
You don't need that many spoons.
I was running a spoon.
One is enough.
Yeah, I guess I'll just jump into my team here a second. I went X and 2 for the third time this season, and for the third time that was not good enough to get me top 16. If just once I had bubbled on the right side of top 16, I'd be in top 64 right now. Just
so
once.
Sad. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I had Twisted Spoon Gardevoir, which is like 8 EVs different than the Gardevoir I ran like 2 years ago in the first Nugget Bridge Major.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Except this one didn't have Helping Hand, it had Moonblast, but it still had the Twisted Spoon. So, that was cool. My other Pokemon were Rotom W, Mamoswine, Mega Lucario also, Ditto, and something. I've already forgotten.
What Mega Lucario did you run?
I ran Pure Special. It was Aura Sphere, Flash Cannon, Vacuum Wave. Oh, Talonflame. That was my last one.
Talonflame's forgetful.
Yeah. Talonflame and Lucario. Well, Lucario was pretty much only there for Kangaskhan's.
Mm-hmm.
And then anytime I saw a Kangaskhan team, I just led Talonflame, Lucario, and then did Quick Guard, Aura Sphere, and then their Mega was gone, and it was good.
Dang.
But Ditto did some serious work, even though I couldn't get one with good IVs in time, and I messed up the EV training on the way there. That entire regionals trip was kind of terrible for me, because I had to work the night before, go to the airport straight from work, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to get there in time, because there are no buses from where I live, just from the city. Spent the night in the airport, took a taxi straight from the plane to the convention center, got in like 2 minutes before registration closed, and then I had to drive back immediately after the tournament and work in the morning. That's and it was fun. A 12-hour drive. So, yeah, it was... I briefly dozed off in two of my matches.
Did you win either?
I won both of those. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, my first game was the scariest because my Mammoth Swine missed a Rock Slide on Charizard turn one, game one. I was like, well, this is no good because then Charizard just one-shotted Mammoth Swine. And then Talonflame was my only other Aegislash counter, and that died the next turn. However, Brave Bird did not kill their Charizard, so I just sent Ditto in, and then I had a Charizard Y, and everything was okay.
That's good.
So, Colin, tell me about your dragons.
So, I used Reuniclus, Mawile, Hydreigon, Garchomp, Chandelure, and Rotom Wash.
Okay.
It was a little unorthodox. I messed around with Mega Mawile calcs, and Helping Hand Mega Mawile can kill almost anything in the game.
That is fact.
Almost anything. What can't it kill?
It can kill Charizard, Talonflame, It can't kill
other Mawile?
It can kill other Mawiles with Helping Hand Iron Head.
What about Sucker Punch Rotom Heat?
It won't kill Rotom Heat. He'll live.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, he's the only thing.
You're the Mawile counter.
Yep, Rotom Heat. I won Wisconsin Regionals with the with that team, and I also top four Kansas City losing to Grayson.
Same team both times?
Yeah, I used the same team at both events.
I used a different team at every event I went to.
None
of them I had more than 3 days in advance.
Normally I change teams, but after top fouring I decided that that was probably the best I was going to get as a team.
Yeah, probably a smart move.
I also lost to Benji. I lost to Benji and Swiss at Kansas City.
How did that go?
Well, I decided not to bring Chandelure or Hydreigon, my Pokemon with fire moves, so his Scizor got to +6, and he swept from there.
I set up Sword Stance for 3 consecutive turns.
Yeah.
So what else were you running, Benji?
My full team was probably the most creative team you'll hear.
Okay.
I had a Mega Kangaskhan, the Mega that nobody's running.
I've not seen any of those.
I was going to use something, you know, more common like Houndoom, Mega Houndoom.
The last time I saw a Kangaskhan was probably 2010 Nats when it won.
Didn't Firestorm run that?
No, that was Wesley.
Someone, okay, yeah.
He won Nationals that year with Kangaskhan.
Firestorm used Kangaskhan in LCQ in 2012.
Yeah, that was right. But I wouldn't put my baby in danger, you sick monster.
So I was going to use something standard like Houndoom, but I decided to go with Kangaskhan because I wanted to be a little bit different from everyone else. Yeah, so my full team was Mega Kangaskhan, Salamence, Tyranitar, Rotom Wash, Amoongus, and Scizor.
and I used the double dance combination. I had Swords Dance, Scizor, and Dragon Dance, Lumberry, Tyranitar.
Okay. And that's a lot of dancing.
And I...
Sorry. I got a text message. It's not Mr. Fox. Sorry.
Oh. But I danced in almost every match because dancing was fun.
Well, with Amoongus, you're almost guaranteed you can dance in front of your opponent.
Actually, Amoongus was probably my least brought Pokemon in the tournament.
Well, that's bold. I have been quoted on saying before, if you're able to dance in front of your opponent, you might as well win.
I do. I danced in front of everyone.
So, how did that go for you, Betty?
It went quite well, I would say. Swiss went pretty smoothly. I had to play Colin and Steven Morioka back-to-back, and so once I was able to beat both of them, and so I was pretty confident for the rest of the day, because normally I lose to Steven, because we play at, like, every tournament. They somehow find a way for us to play each other. And so after that, I was pretty confident, but then I got insanely hexed out by Rock Slides and flinching and critting me, and so I was really upset. Yeah, and I almost lost on a pair down. I had a really close match. I forgot the guy's name, but he was using Safe Swagger Scrafty.
Okay.
And I thought it was going to be Scrafty that ruined my regionals run.
But that would have been hilarious.
That would have been very ironic. You know,
but fortunately, I was able to dance my way out of it.
Man, I would have loved to play against your team. Because Ditto loves nothing more than people who dance.
Yeah, I would not want to face a Ditto.
Do you also run Power-Up Punch on your Gengiscon?
I also ran Power-Up Punch. All my physical attackers could raise their own attack.
So, strong.
That was pretty fun. And speaking of Power-Up Punch, that is actually how I won Game 1 of the Finals in... Kansas City against Grayson in the finals. He led Amoongus Kangaskhan, and I led Salamence Kangaskhan. And we played in Swiss, and the first turn in Swiss, he double protected. So I just went that he was going to do that again. So I power-up punched my own Salamence and was able to get to +2.
And did he double protect?
He double protected.
Perfect.
And it was beautiful.
It's just almost too good.
Alright, so, that's how we all did last regionals. Let's wind it back. First regionals this year, what were you running? Was it anything similar?
I couldn't make it.
Are we talking fall, or...?
Yeah, the first regional you went to this year, what was the first competitive team you ran?
This year, as in 2014.
Yeah, as in 2014. X and Y. What's your first XY team?
That was my first XY team.
That was your first X. Okay.
Yeah, that was the only regional I've been to for X and Y.
Same here.
I ran Double Dragons again.
Really? Same dragons?
Same dragons. Garchomp, Hydreigon, Kangaskhan, Aegislash, Rotom Heat, and Gyarados. So the dragons transferred over to this team.
Same set, same items.
Yeah, they ended up being the same sets and the same items at the end. I did change some EVs on Hydreigon, but overall they were the same sets.
Well, if it worked the first time.
Yeah, I got top 16 at St. Louis. I lost to Greg Johnson.
Alright, my first XY regional team, I had Charizard, Moltres, Chestnut, Garchomp, Wigglytuff, Electrode. So, you know, the most standard stuff.
So you used Wigglytuff before it was cool.
I like to think I made it cool.
You made it
cool. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, even then, Double Dragons, like I said, like, before regionals even started, it was everywhere. And so was Double Intimidate. So it's like, Wigglytuff has this cool ability where... if it lowers its stats, its special attack gets raised, and it doesn't care about its regular attack.
For some reason, I always thought it only went up one stage if its stats were dropped, kind of like how Flatter only goes up one stage, but has 100% accuracy. But
right.
So nope, glad.
It goes too.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. After missing a Fire Blast against it in the red, got promptly Dazzling Gleamed.
I was kind of sad because I thought half my team I would be the first person running them with Wigglytuff. Or actually, more than half. I thought Moltres, Chestnut, Electrode, and Wigglytuff, I would be the first person bringing all those into the spotlight. And then the weekend before, Inosh ran Chestnut and got top four.
Top two?
It was all for Chestnut.
Yeah.
That's a terrible joke, and you should feel terrible.
It was all for Chestnut.
I still think I'm the only person that has run Electrode.
I've not seen a single Electrode ever.
At the time, the big call for that was I didn't want to get Parish trapped. And Electrode has Soundproof, so it is immune to Parish Song.
Mm.
And it's also faster than everything at base 140 speed. So it completely wrecks Talonflame because Brave Bird is resisted and you Thunderbolt it first. And then it also outspeeds and one-shots Greninja, and I had to give it a Zap Plate to kill Charizards, but that was okay.
Not a magnet?
No, I didn't have a magnet. I gave it a plate. It was a ball on a plate.
Okay.
I thought it was hilarious.
Because there have always been two items for each, like, type, I've always wanted to have an excuse to use both on a team, but alas, I have not.
Electrode was good, though. Having Light Screen and having Swagger that isn't blocked by Quick Guard because it's not a prankster, but it's still faster than everything else was pretty cool.
How important do you think speed is, then?
Speed is tricky. For Electrode, you do need the speed.
No, I meant, like, in general. Like,
in general?
If you have to run that fast of a Pokemon, you must think speed's really important.
Speed is very important. Pretty much every team has a Scarf on it right now, which I think will die down sooner or later, but with X and Y coming out and getting rid of all the old Mew Tutors, a lot of things lost Icy Wind, a lot of things lost Tailwind, Trick Room. Well, in theory, it's easier to set up with a lot of abilities getting buffed to not let you get taunted. It's kind of risky because everything's so strong right now, they'll just one-shot you before you can get it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, recently, I won a regional with Trick Room.
Like I said, it in theory, it should be better right now.
It's weird because I think the only Trick Room teams that have gone past top 8 have used Trick Room users that don't have the buffed abilities. Although, actually, no. I guess Reuniclus
gets Overcoat.
Overcoat preventing the spores and sleep powders.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give it that. I just meant taunt. But no one uses taunt anymore.
I lost a match in Florida to a King's Rock Reuniclus.
What?
They led Conkeldurr Reuniclus. I led Tyranitar Vivillon. I sleep powdered the Conkeldurr. And Tyranitar hit Reuniclus. Reuniclus lived with, like, 1 HP. Got off Trick Room. Next turn, Reuniclus Psychics Vivillon. Conkeldurr wakes up immediately, one-shots Tyranitar, and then Vivillon flinches.
What?
What is going on here?
Well, then.
And then, two turns later, next turn, Vivillon missed Hurricane with Compound Eyes against the same Conkeldurr.
What's that probability?
Let's see.
It's like 90-something?
I think like 92. I also missed a Sleep Powder in that tournament, and that's 97.5% accurate. And that was me leading Abomasnow Vivillon against a Rotom H, and then I Sleep Powdered the Rotom H, and it missed. And then everything was bad.
Well,
and I had Chartyberry so that I could live rock slides on that same Vivillon. That way I could quiver dance against Garchomps and then sleep powder them the next turn.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Rock Slide flinched the one time that happened.
It's like, I have my item just for this, and, crap. Yeah,
so Vivillon was the most unclutched Pokemon I've ever used in a tournament. Couldn't hit Sleep Powder, couldn't hit Hurricane, flinches to Psychics, flinches to Rock Slides. Anytime it did hit Sleep Powder, they'd never slept more than a turn.
That's funny, because I have never woken up, without a max turn sleep. Every time I fell asleep at Kansas City, I was asleep for the rest of the time.
Like, I've definitely gotten two turn sleeps.
My Pokemon never went to sleep.
But every time I've run sleep, it's just been the worst thing ever. Like, even when I top cut last year with Breloom, nothing ever stayed asleep more than a turn. Ever.
Your sleep moves did not like you. I don't think I ever used Spore at the tournament.
You said you rarely used the Moongus.
I think when I did, I was just rage powdering so I could dance.
Yeah, I never used Ally Switch at the tournament, which was sad. Because if, like, long-term listeners of the podcast will remember that I really, really loved Ally Switch, like, 2 years ago, and everybody else called me crazy saying it was a terrible, terrible move.
I only didn't use it because Showdown's
Ally Switch. Yeah, it didn't work on Showdown. And that's why I didn't use Showdown, because moves like that didn't work, and some of the calculations were wrong, and a bunch of other stuff was just broken.
Of course, now it works, like a year after I was interested in it.
Yeah, and so now there are Ally Switch Guard Wars everywhere, now that people can actually use it on a simulator, which I think is just... It's just annoying that people are only using stuff they can use on the simulator.
I would just like to go on record and say I just lied, because I remember I used Spore in the final match of the final series. We had a mirror match. I knew he was going to lead it, so I decided to lead it right back. I led Kangaskhan Amoongus right back at him, and it ended up being a mirrored turns for in pretty much whoever woke up first won.
Fake out and then Spore, or
he did not have fake out. He double protected first turn.
No, Ben.
Yeah, he ran protect Kanga.
You spored. He power punched your Kangaskhan. You power punched his, and then you both spored each other's Kangaskhans. And then for two turns after they both were asleep while you both
giggled. I actually that's right. That was the first time I ever woke up on did not get max turn slept. Because I woke up and I got off a
return. And then your Amoongus killed Kangaskhan with Giga Drain.
Yeah. That battle was crazy. That series was crazy.
Now, I'm hearing a lot of Kangaskhan. Are you guys sure it's very bad?
It's bad?
It's terrible. Be realistic it's an awful, now?
It's an awful, awful Pokemon.
I've never actually used a real Mega Kangaskhan. I've used other people's Kangaskhans after I've dittoed them, because I've run Ditto off and on through the entire season. I'm not exactly sure the point of Kangaskhan, other than being a normal type that hits really hard.
Just bulk and speed. It's got everything. It's really the stat distribution.
I don't know about the speed, though.
I think this
because speed... it's in a speed tier with Salamence and Zapdos and 1,000 other Megas, Charizard, Gardevoir. There's a lot I'm missing.
The thing with Kangaskhan, though, is it outspeeds, like, a lot of the... Like, it cleanly outspeeds Pokemon like Tyranitar, Rotoms, Mamoswine, Chandelure. All, like, the slower Pokemon. So it puts it.
But it's,
it has to go with speed ties against the stronger threats, though.
But things like Tyranitar, even with Power Up Punch, you're not gonna one shot that.
But it's Rotom not going also, to KO back either.
Well, it can always Dragon Dance or something, and then it's faster, and it'll just flinch you forever. Rotoms are just gonna burn you because you're not gonna one shot those. Other slow megas like Mawile are going to one-shot you most of the time.
Well, it's up there in usage stats for a reason.
Yeah, like, I know it is a very good mon for people that don't have a clear strategy.
Whoa. Bang, bang.
Yeah, I'm
shots fired.
I think it just fits onto a lot of teams, like, very easily. Yeah. Like, you just slap it on as,
all
like,
normal types do.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people use it to lead with, but in both the games I had against Kangaskhan that I lost, had it in the back just waiting for things to die, and they were just coming up.
I did that a lot. I brought Kangaskhan in the back. The only time I led Kangaskhan were in the early matches whenever I was facing players that I didn't really know anything about.
I see how it is.
I didn't know anything about them. If I was playing someone else I knew, I would. Colin played it really well. He kept switching in his Garchomp, and so I buff-skinned myself.
That was the only damage I got on you.
You got off a play rough on Scizor, but I actually ran leftovers on my Scizor. Because actually what happened is, on the first draft of the team, it was a Kinkelder, and I was like, crap, my team can't deal with Gardevoir. And so the first switch I made was I put on Scizor for Kinkelder, and I was too lazy to change the EV spread and item. I just changed the moves and the Pokemon. So it was a very, very, very bulky leftover Scizor. And eventually, Colin's like, you should, regionals is in like 3 days, you should probably make a spread. And so Colin and I made a spread for it, which is funny because that ended up beating him with the spread that he made.
Fantastic.
Now, what do you think about Oliver Valenti's change to your team?
I liked it. He changed Aegislash for Scizor. He switched it. Made the team a little bit more defensive, and I think Substitute's a great move, like, in general. And I think Aegislash is a good Pokemon. I prefer my version, because I think Scizor is very underrated, and it did well at other regionals as well. Like, it did well at Washington.
Yep.
Yes, I believe it was on both top two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Randy and Tony.
It also top cut Kansas with LP Fan. He also used Scizor.
Yeah, actually, LP Fan and I used insanely similar teams. I believe we used a different Rotom form. Was the only difference between our six Pokemon. He went with Rotom Heat, and I had Rotom Wash.
Yeah, looking over the top placing teams from the past few regionals, I think Rotom was in like 7 of 8 at all of them, if not more.
For a good reason. It's just a monster.
Yeah, it's got very good typing. And it has multiple types it can be.
And just amazing stat distribution.
Mm-hmm. It's good Pokemon.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of trouble building teams without it. It just keeps ending up being the last Pokemon.
Yeah, and it's the easiest Pokemon to slap on a team because there's different forms of it. If you need a water type, Rotom Wash is good.
No.
It is just so unclutch.
I don't agree at all.
I cannot hit Hydro Pumps. I cannot hit Will-O-Wisps. The last time I ran it, I didn't run Will-O-Wisp. I had Thunder Wave.
One of my rules for my restrictions for building my Massachusetts regional team, no Hydro Pump whatsoever. Yeah,
that's a good call.
I ended up switching it for my bulky Azumarill, which definitely paid off in that.
I only had two moves that were not 100% accurate in Utah, and that was Rock Slide and Hydro Pump. And all of my matches that came down to hacks came down to Rock Slides and Hydro Pumps. I dodged a Hydro Pump. I dodged a Rock Slide with Talonflame.
I
completely stole my round 7 match.
I had Rock Slide, I had Draco Meteor, I had Stone Edge, I had Fire Blast, I had Hydro Pump, I had Will-O-Wisp. What else did I have? That might have been all the non 100% accurate moves.
Yeah, like I thought I learned my lesson after Florida with missing sleep powders and hurricanes all day, and then I ran 2 will-o-wisps and a leech seed at Seattle. I lost my round 2 match because I missed a leech seed or a will-o-wisp.
One and change then, I would have done to my team, or 2, would be flamethrower Salamence, because I ended up...
Okay.
I lost my entire final set because of Fire Blast misses. And then Synthesis Mega Venusaur, so much better than Leech Seed.
It's really funny because I am the exact opposite, and I will never run Flamethrower again on a Pokemon that's Choice Scarf because of the fact that it's so pitiful.
No, it does I won't not. That's why I did run.
I agree with you that like if I had lost to Fire Blast missing, I would have not known what to do with my life because I am already so against Flamethrower on a Scarf Dragon because I lost at Nationals because in the rain, my Flamethrower did not do enough to take out the Scizor that was at like 80%. And I was just like, it's times 4 super effective. It's gotta do it. But it didn't.
I made a Ferrothorn spread for somebody that lives timid Scarf Salamence Fire Blast, which I think is just the most hilarious thing in the world.
That is hilarious. Fortunately for me, I run Modest because I cannot stand speed ties, so I don't like being as fast as I can be, technically. Okay. I always run a weird speed on Amoongus because, or I used to, because you could spore other Amoonguses. I'd always want to be faster or slower depending on if I had Trick Room or not.
You used to be able to spore Amoongus? What?
Yeah. You used to be able to rage powder it too.
I used to be able to do that all the time. And I used to be able to close combat things with my Terrakion, but that now he's gone.
Well, I mean, as long as you soak Amoongus first, you can still spore it.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that. I'll do that from now on. I'm gonna run soak on all my teams.
Or on the other hand, you can use Forest Curse, so none of your Pokemon can get spored.
Is that one of those terrain moves?
No, it's Forest Curse. It adds grass to your typing. Yeah.
Really? Can you have triple typing?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Right? It's super weird.
Like, unlike soak that changes your typing. So in effect, it changes your stab moves. It just adds on. Same with Trick or Treat, which adds ghost.
So if you use Forest Curse and you have a Salamence, would you be times 8 weak to ice?
Yes,
moves?
You would. Yes, you would.
That's funny.
It is indeed. Think we're getting a little bit off topic here.
I don't know. I think this is what people want to hear about. Force Curse Salamence.
I think what people really want to hear is about Leftover Scizor and why it's the superior Scizor.
Okay. I'll listen to this, because Bulky Scizor actually makes sense if you're going to run Sword Stance.
I was running a Sword Stance Scizor, and what I would be able to do with it is set up a Sword Stance and go to town, and if I'm able to kill something with Bullet Punch, then only one thing would be attacking me, and being a Bulky Scizor, I would most of the time be able to live barring strong, strong hits with Life Orb or Fire Attacks.
Especially when your opponent does not bring Fire Attacking Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't know who did that. I believe that was one Colin Hire.
Even though Chandelure completely walls your Scizor.
And you would have known that.
And the best part was, is I had Scizor and Amoongus, and it completely walls both. But bringing it would have made two.
And it walls Kangaskhan because I can set up a sub and you can't touch it.
Let's go through how many Pokemon on my team I walled by Chandelure.
It was just too obvious. He knew you were gonna counter team it so hard.
Yeah, that's one thing I hate about team preview and best of one against people you know. It's just kind of like, I could run this, Maybe they know I'll run this.
The thing was, on both of our teams, there was an obvious choice of Pokemon to bring. I had Salamence that could outspeed both of his dragons.
But the thing is, we didn't bring it.
We both knew both of our teams and were like, I think in my mind, I'm like, okay, when I face Colin, I just gotta lead with Salamence and try to kill something.
But you didn't bring Salamence.
I didn't even bring Salamence. And I ended up bringing Scizor instead, which, in theory, I should have thought about it and be like, why am I bringing a Scizor against a Chandelure?
A Hydreigon and a Rotom Wash.
You just gotta go with your gut.
And it turned out to work very well. I was like, I have a T-Tar, I don't need, Chandelure doesn't scare me. But it really does.
Yeah, the T-Tar that really Wall scary. Wild Walls.
Hey, all I have to say is +6, man. And that wasn't the only time I got the +6 that tournament, let me tell you. I got Encored into Swords Dance.
That is my favorite thing to do.
I didn't
to people that use Swords Dance.
So what happened was I took out the thing with Encore and skillfully dodged a Hydro Pump somewhere in there.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
I did that a couple times.
You just got an EV and evasiveness, and you'll be
yes.
You'll be
fine. Yeah. That's actually my EV spread. It's 252. I forget the HP number. It's 252 HP, 252 evasiveness.
Or attack.
And instead of leftovers, it actually had Bright Powder. For maximum dodging.
Oh, one big change this meta is Garchomp. I actually faced a Sand Veil.
Oh, Garchomp. Yeah, the rough skin.
Even Mango's Soul, he did not use Bright Powder. I had the honor to play Mango without Bright Powder.
But did he still have Sand Veil?
No, he totally embraced Rough Skin. He used Rocky Helmet, too.
Oh my.
When Mango uses a Garchomp ability, Mango uses the Garchomp's ability. His item always complements the effect of the item.
I faced Wolfie, who had a Mega Tyranitar team with sub-lefties Garchomp.
Sand Veil.
With Sand Veil, yes.
And he tested Bright Powder.
He did.
Because there's no reason so not glad to he use didn't Bright use it. Powder.
I no hit reason. All of my moves that game. It was brilliant.
Alright, I think it's time for us to move on. We've already been going for about 45 minutes. So, let's see. Next up on our list, we have National CP Standings.
Whoop whoop!
So, yeah.
Last time we talked about possible nets, it was like fall, and all we knew was Omari is definitely going to Worlds.
Yeah.
And right, we look at the CP now, and oh, Omari's number one.
Yeah, he's got two first places and a second place.
That's pretty solid.
I think the only person doing better than him is a junior.
Yes.
And that is Corey Connor. Yeah.
One thing I do want to note, I forgot to note earlier, is Massachusetts, this is the first team in I think the past 5 events that Blake Hopper, Mr. Bopper, has not made for me.
Nice.
And that's only relevant because he's somehow top 16.
Right, let's talk about the top 16. Is that where the first round bye for Nationals cuts off?
Yep, top 16.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hey, that could hurt you guys, okay?
It hurt me last year. If I could do Nationals again last year, I'd give away my bye and lose on purpose first round.
Yeah, that also really hurt, I think, Oliver too. Because
yeah,
and Bears fan.
Yeah, his second round, he just got totally hacked.
Oliver went 5 rounds, and the only person he beat was Ray.
Oh, no big.
Wow.
And bye.
Yeah, so I see 2 of your names are on this list for top 16. Benji, you're sitting there at a 3-way tie for 13th, and yes. Colin, you are all alone at number 5.
Going into Kansas, I was number 38, and then I top 4'd Kansas, and I was like, maybe I could top 16 if I pulled off another top 4 at Madison, and then I ended up winning the whole thing, launching me all the way from 33rd to 5th in 2 weeks.
Nice.
That's impressive. I wish I had three regional finishes.
I think my jump was actually better. I think I was like 150th and jumped to 72nd. So.
Wow, that's impressive.
But I think what we're all forgetting is that one misty October morning when a young Texan gets DQ'd when he's trying to avenge his title.
Yeah.
But he gets back on that horse, and he goes to Kansas, and he dances his way to the top.
I like to reference that as the death of Banjo Irons. May his soul rest in peace.
Yeah, I remember, because I was texting you for updates, and I didn't know that you were DQ'd until like halfway through the regional, when I'm like, wait, how come he's not telling me how he's doing?
The funny thing was, I lost in the finals the weekend before, whenever I faced Steven, and the reason I got DQ'd was because I was trying to counter team him, because I knew he was going to be there. I was making my thunders faster, but at 3 in the morning, we're like, this was me and Blake, it was at 3 in the morning, I was like, all my guys were perfectly fine, I was going to use the same team, and I was like, I want to make my thunders faster. I don't care if I don't live the normal hits. I want to beat Steven. I want to thunderwave him back. Yeah.
Didn't that same Blake Hopper top cut that event?
top four.
And the best part is, I don't know if he was able to beat the terror that was Tarak.
He couldn't. We did a match later on, and I destroyed him.
So there's a.
Oh yeah, I used that. Too.
There's a conspiracy theory going around that Blake Hopper DQ'd me on purpose. No, I'm just kidding.
Isn't he below you in CP solo?
Tied.
We were tied.
Tied for 13th.
But one of us did it with two finishes. So,
yeah. Benji, far and away the highest ranking person with two finishes. the next closest is tied for 30th right now.
Actually, Chinese dude.
Oh, right. Okay, never mind. He's 60. So not far and away, just 30 points higher. And then it is top 64 get stipends for nationals, is that right?
Yeah. Okay, top 32 get more money, but...
Yeah, there's giant ties for all of these right now.
Do we know how they're going to do tiebreakers yet?
I don't know if they're doing ELO or not.
I believe that if you tied for... I was told that if you tied for top 64, as long as you match the number that is in the top 64, you would get the money.
Do you know how they're going to do it for top 16?
I have no idea. There was talk of a round robin tournament to decide who would get it, but I think that's kind of out the window now.
Yeah, because there's a six-way tie for 16th right now, and then
like, where are those
10
people
could have 64.
I don't have the list up.
For 16, it is Paul, Tony, Toler, Inosh, Trista, and Alex.
Oh, that's really big.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of free trips if they're going to do the same thing they're doing for 64.
Right.
Now I get why Toler was so upset.
Yes.
That's because Toler needed top 32 and he would have been ahead of all that.
I don't know. Yeah, and I just needed top 16 to inch my way into top 64.
Yeah, couldn't just one person from that just do one place better, and we would have had a perfect clean cut top 16?
Yeah.
It's like,
I ended up knocking Trista out in top 8, so she ended. God,
you are a jerk.
So she tied it. I added her.
All you needed was top 4. Oh, wait, no, never mind. You wouldn't have gotten it.
I wouldn't have gotten it.
It would have still been complete and utter chaos.
Yep.
Yeah. Although, one thing I still feel really weird about is that the U.S. isn't North America the only one with CP right now, and we're done?
We're not done until Nationals.
Europe does CP from Nationals, 4 Worlds. But they have 3 Nationals.
Yeah, and there's an... What is it? South Africa has the nationals now, and then
Australia has something.
Australia.
Korea recently did like a regional setting kind of thing and got people qualified for nationals.
There's like no news coming from that because Sage Jr. just wins them all.
Yeah, he won the regional.
Yeah, basically just wake us up when Sejun doesn't win something over there.
Yeah.
When do the European Nationals start?
I want to say next month, like in the next couple weeks here.
May, I believe early May.
May 4th for Germany.
That's the first one.
Yes, May 3rd and 4th. Italy, May 31. The UK, May 25.
And the thing about this is they have not had an official X and Y event. So it's going to be really interesting to see if the same players from last year that dominated, like...
Well, the UK had that thing in December.
The UK has had a lot of tournaments.
They have some smaller, small-sided events, but they haven't had an official...
Right.
BGC thing.
Right.
Like for
nothing for championship
worlds,
points.
For worlds qualification. So it'll be interesting to see if some of the same players, like the Genies and.
And Omega Donut.
And Omega Donut. So I know Toquil, who. He won some tournament for X and Y. And I don't know how he did last year, but he didn't.
Zog. Worlds. Zog has been doing all the. Been doing well in those little qualifications.
Yeah, Zog's. Zog has been good.
Zog's always doing well.
Baz is always lurking around.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if, like, the Genie brothers and...
They're good at the game.
It'll just be interesting to see how a lot of those players come into X and Y. Because I know it was interesting to see how the U.S. came into X and Y.
I mean, the U.S., the top players are still some of the best players at this game. Like, we have Ray, Dingram, King of Mars...
Well, Dingram's just coming out as seniors.
Yeah,
but that's not.
Yeah, but he was really good as a senior.
I still think he's bad, but he just gets the championship points, so you can't argue that.
You can.
I will argue that, but he is. Oh, fun fact: Dingram is still the best loser. If you look
what
at his CP, he's not one event.
2 second places in the top 16.
He's my best loser.
I think he should have played it risky and only gone to two events. That's how the cool people are doing it these days.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Get it.
He's still in the top 16.
We can't talk about Europe without Italy. We still have Meme, our current world champion.
Yes.
He does have a free invite, though, so we'll see how hard he tries.
Yeah.
I bet he'll go and try to get a feel for the metagame, but he has no need to spend tons of money flying to all the nationals.
Maybe he'll just run Dark Void.
Ew.
Or just spore everything, but he can't spore grass types anymore, so he might need to learn that.
Dark Void. You can Dark Void grass types.
Oh, speaking of new game mechanics, I only forgot to Mega Evolve twice.
That's good to know. Like,
this is why you run Ditto as your Mega, that way they hit the button for you. You don't have to do it.
Like,
do not run a single. You're a Mega Lucario, didn't you?
Yeah, I had Mega Lucario.
Okay.
Every game I've had, because I run double Mega, I'm always, like, scared that, wait, this Pokemon's out. Did I already Mega Evolve this turn?
Well, the button will be grayed out.
But, I actually never brought both Venusaur and Lucario. So, that was okay.
Makes sense.
Oh, if I do recall correctly, you were talking about how there's still more CP in the U.S. before now?
There is. In addition to U.S. players being allowed to get CP from U.K. Nats, they won't count towards U.S. Nats, but they will count towards Worlds. We also have Premier Challenges.
Wait, it counts towards Worlds? So it adds up to North America?
Yes.
I did
so
not know that.
If you're a North American and you want to go to one of the European Nationals... You can get CP from there, and it will count towards your total for Worlds.
Does it count as, like, a best finish limit? Like,
nope.
Wow. That's,
so you can go to every Nationals if you want. Well, you have to spend quite a bit of money to go globe-trotting to play Pokemon, and then you need to finish well at all
of
them.
Buy out the system. Like,
they still have to finish well at all of these Nationals.
If you're well off and you're a good player, well, good enough, cough, cough, Ashton. You could still, like, go to enough regionals to just play your chances. Like, I only went to two regionals, and I got really bad hacks the first one, but because I could only go to two, I couldn't really make up for that.
I could go to three. I just had an incident, you know.
We get it. We get it. Texas Magma, strong. Okay.
Then BS sports hacks can go to winter.
Soccer.
Well, didn't you win something with your sports team, though?
We won some tournament, but then when it mattered, we sucked. No, we didn't suck.
Just like Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. I won a couple things prior, and then when it came to Worlds, I sucked.
Yeah.
So, when it came to down to mattering.
We can also get CP with Premier Challenges.
Yes, Premier Challenges, new thing. Not a lot of CP. It's basically the equivalent to what Wi-Fi tournaments were last year.
Yes.
Except
15.
Yeah, 15 for first, 12 for second, 10 for top 4, 8 for top 8, 4 for top 12, 2 for top 16, and then 1 for top 32. Which could kill a lot of these tiebreakers that we have.
But it doesn't go towards Nats, right?
No, it does not go towards Nats.
Which, really, they should have made it count towards Nats to fix their tiebreaker problem.
If they did, I could claw my way back into top 64. I would just need two fourth-place finishes.
Or one first-place finish and another somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
I was curious, is there really six Premier Challenges in Oregon?
I don't know the number for all of them.
I think there are a lot in Oregon. Because
there are a lot in Oregon. I know there's going to be a number around me in Redmond, Seattle area.
Yeah, they just have a lot of TIAs in Oregon willing to try it out.
I was unaware that it was such a densely populated Pokemon place.
Well, they just have a really good.
Unfortunately, had to move.
Fortunately, I live in an area that will be having two Premier Challenges, or relatively close.
I think the closest one that I've seen was the Sandusky one on that Monday.
Oh, that's right. I wanted to go to that, not to play, but just to go to Cedar Point.
And also Vermilion.
Yeah. Let's just all go to Cedar Point, guys.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm actually playing in a Premier Challenge this Friday, so.
Nice.
Where are you doing that at?
Denton, Texas, UNT.
Nice.
Well, this year, instead of being disqualified from all the online tournaments because of my really crappy Wi-Fi connection, I can just not get CP. By not being able to go to Premier Challenges.
Yeah, there had to be some way for you not to get extra CP.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi challenges last year were so weird because of the just seemingly random disqualifications.
I think, ironically enough, the only ones I didn't get disqualified from, I didn't place high enough to get CP.
I got top 10 in a couple of them. And people were disconnecting on me constantly. But I was just running stupid stuff like Scarf Jinx or Ditto, Scyther, Zoroark, Golem.
I remember the last international challenge that counted for CP. Whenever it was coming to crunch time for CP brackets, everything. I had been DC'd on so much that I got my rating up as high as I could. And then I just started running for matches so I could lower it. And it ended up being very effective because I ended up qualifying for Worlds by 4 points.
Nice.
Wow. So I guess running does help.
That's what I did. I don't know if it actually helped anything. It could still be random, and I just got less championship points than I could.
Maybe that influenced X and Y being based off of France.
You know, I always started every tournament by running. Yeah, I'd run from 5 battles and then start playing. Because the theory was if you started disconnecting, they would match you up with other disconnectors. So if you win your first match and they disconnect on you, then you get put in the crap bracket immediately. So if you just do 5 and run before they can disconnect on you, then you've already got a good, like, rating. If not actual rating.
Well, apparently they fixed this just by awarding losses now.
Yes, so that's what I'm curious as to why they didn't do any of those types of tournaments, because they can easily...
There's one coming up, but it's not VGC, and it doesn't...
Yeah, I don't really do anything not VGC related, so...
Yeah, I barely do anything VGC related at this point.
I did that non-VGC one that allowed you to enter the beta test, but then the beta test wasn't VGC, so I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm. So, that tournament coming up, I will not be participating in. Yeah. Sorry.
Neither will I. I played in the last one they had, and then 2 games in, I faced double Togekiss. And then, six games in, I was live streaming that, and that was right when it started, so I think that was the first time people realized you could run more than one of the same species.
Did you face... It was then, either you or Chalky. You faced me. All of the Rotom forms.
Oh, no, that wasn't me. 4 games after double Togekiss, I faced 6 Garchomp. Including an Assault Vest Garchomp with Outrage, which Politoed did not 2-hit KO with Ice Beam.
What?
I thought I had that just completely wrapped up, and then they made it super close, because I had Politoed with Ice Beam, I had Noivern, and I forget what else, but I had something else that just wrecked Garchomps. And then they started outraging it and tanking everything. And it got real scary.
I'm just glad I don't see Outrage actually used in VGC.
Yeah! It's super risky, but it's super scary.
It was used for a little while on banded Garchomps.
I've seen it on Kangaskhans.
Oh boy.
Because you get the double Outrage.
Giga Imp.
Doesn't it just get Thrash?
It does get Thrash.
I've not seen Thrash. I would use Thrash over Facade any day.
This was another one of my just horrible, horrible luck situations at Seattle. I was running Mega Gengar and Gorgeist, and I had them out trapping a Kangaskhan and Conkeldurr. Thinking, I had this... There was no way they could touch me. Conkeldurr could just rock slide and that would do almost nothing. I can just burn the Kangaskhan, Leech Seed, whatever, just sit out there for days. And then Kangaskhan used Crunch and Conkeldurr used Payback.
Ooh.
And everything went wrong so fast.
What? I actually played a Crunch Kangaskhan at St. Louis with my Aegislash. I thought the game was locked up, and one turn before I saw Crunch, I was like, I'm just gonna King Shield here because I was in Blade form, and the Kangaskhan kind of crunched into my shield, and it pretty much won me the game at that point because I was fighting a -2 Kangaskhan.
Well, honestly, if you're attacking right into a Blade form, it's not that smart. I mean, Aegislash. Definitely.
What else is he gonna do?
Well, not use Crunch, wait till you're in shield form and not using King Shield.
Maybe he didn't have Protect.
Or just use a normal type move to kill his turn.
Later on, he wanted to avoid my King Shield further, and he did use a normal type move into my shield.
Lesson learned way too late.
Alright, and we have passed the hour mark, so I think we're going to move on to questions, which is a new segment that I've wanted to get going for a long time. Didn't put out the word for people to give questions, so somebody just pinged me in IRC. It was Ragov asking, what do you think of Star Raptor?
I'm actually considering it really highly in my next team, just because Mega Venusaur is literally everywhere right now.
I don't think it's literally everywhere, but it's...
You haven't looked literally everywhere, then.
I'm looking at the top teams from regionals right now, and it's there, but it's not everywhere.
Well, okay. After regionals, the metagame right now is just people kind of
it was something to stuff. I thought was going to be huge before the first regional, and then nobody had it. But anyway, back to Staraptor. It did win the Seattle regional. It got top four in Massachusetts? No.
Mm-mm.
In Athens.
I beat it in my last run of Swiss in a really close set against Mancuso, who's in top 16 of CP.
He's actually in top 32 right now.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
He's number...
Yeah, he's bubbling for one of those.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Ashton.
Yeah. They're like people seem to just run it as a Salamence replacement right now.
Final Gambit is a nice niche because of all the really top-tier Pokemon's HP stats.
And right. The combination of U-Turn and Intimidate is pretty strong.
And it's got some really good coverage with Brave Bird and then Close Combat and, of course, Final Gambit.
The fact that it can hit Kangaskhan and it's fast. That's good, too.
And can intimidate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good Pokemon. If you have questions so that we have a longer question segment next time, tweet us at the Lava Pool on Twitter. I just created this account like 20 minutes ago. Strictly for questions, but I'll also use that to post whenever we have new episodes up or we want other topics. That is at the Lava Pool.
We also do have a new logo icon. You can enjoy it.
Yes. I'm excited to see that because I have not seen it yet.
You'll see it.
That should go all over our iTunes and podcast page and Twitter.
Yeah.
And depending on how much I like it, it'll be my new icon on whatever forums I use.
Alright,
so any other questions you guys have before we wrap this up?
What are you guys going to be doing now that we have this break between regionals and nationals?
Premier Challenge.
I'm going to finish Dark Souls 2.
I need to lock up my top 16 invite so I can make it to Worlds, so I'm definitely be working on my Nats team.
Oh, yeah.
I have SATs. Woo!
Oh, me too.
Yeah, Colin, priorities, man.
So, speaking of SATs, I had a fun time. I did not know what an SAT looked like before I went in and took it. Because I did zero prep. I did not know it was going to be 10 sections.
How'd you do?
The writing was crap, but I got a composite score, so I get like all the top scholarships for that. Because I did good on reading and math.
Nice.
Cool.
The ones that the schools care about.
See, my weekend, like every weekend for the past couple months, has been music, VGC, and SAT prep. That is the life of a Pokemon VGC player junior in high school.
Just wait. College application.
Hopefully the metagame will... Some things will pop up. New trends.
I guess I do have to start building for Premier Challenges, and then I'm also in this Nugget Bridge Dodrio Cup tournament.
Colin and I are teammates.
Yes, we are.
The boiler room sounds hot.
Caleb and I are teammates.
That's yeah. BS, am I right?
Yes, we're team Dr. BS.
Way hotter than the boiler room.
Yes. Saying.
I'm bubbling right now. So hot. Steamy.
Alright, so I think that'll do it for this week. I'm going to try getting the Lava Pool back to its original every 2 week schedule. So if anyone has suggestions for guests next week, or topics, or questions, again, tweet at the Lava Pool. Or use the website, teammagma.net. There's a forum there.
And a fancy team builder.
Yes, JTK has made this fancy, awesome team builder. The only issue I have with it is it's not colorblind friendly. So when it shows you your weaknesses with a red background and a gray text, I cannot see how many weaknesses are there. But other than that, it's kind of awesome. So teammagma.net/teambuilder is where you find that, or just go to the homepage and it's under one of the things. Let's see. Yeah, we're going to be bumping up these forums soon, because it looks like nobody's posted in months and months on that site, which I think I'll take some of the responsibility for killing the lava pool earlier.
We do have live tourneys, though, so...
Yes, live tourneys are back regularly. They're every Saturday night, 8:15 Pacific, 11:15 Eastern. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because let's be honest, you're not going to be out that late on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And even if you are, you should go home and practice some VGC.
Yes.
Who doesn't want to stay up late playing Pokemon?
I do it whether I like to or not. Actually, I still tend to miss those tourneys because of when I have to work. But I should be around for more of them.
Shiloh is trying to have the IRC become much more booming, so if you come on hashtag Team Magma on SinIRC.
Yes. The other show that is trying to, or was trying to fill the gap left by the lava pool, Unprofessional Pokemon, is our weekly video show where we play X and Y, a bit of VGC, and then we also play older games like Pokemon Snap or Battle Revolution or Colosseum or Trozzi or like whatever we want that specific day. That show is on Twitch.tv/Team Magma, and that is every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. And archives of that go up on the YouTube, like, within the day. Or never at all, because sometimes we forget. In which case, you should just bug us. All right, and that's all the plugs I have. So, anything else you guys want to plug?
Can't think of anything.
No.
Eggie Emporium's cool. There's a new Pokemon Showdown server. It's eggieemporium.psim. It's fun. They're tournaments.
Okay. One, sell me on Pokemon Showdown, and two, sell me on separate Pokemon Showdown servers.
Well, this one has tournaments.
Okay, that means nothing to me.
There's this cool mod there. Blitz Immersed, he's pretty cool.
Okay, that's one reason not to use it.
And the team builder is okay. I don't know, man.
So
we already plugged all the good stuff.
Wait, don't they just use the same team builder?
Yeah.
Okay. that's what I thought. Yeah, I still don't like Showdown. And then splitting the player base between Nightbridge and whatever this other thing is. I don't know. Benji, Colin, anything else you want to plug?
Nope.
Okay, well then I will wrap this up. We will see you in 2 weeks with another episode of The Lava Pool. Until then, I'm Sam.
I'm Caleb.
I'm Colin.
I'm sorry, Colin. I'm Benji saying that Bopper sucks.
Bopper does suck. And we'll see you next time on The Lava Pool.